Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Come on, let's turkey trot.
Gobble, 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 gobble.
Oh, that's you. I thought it was the song. It fit in so well.
Gobble, gobble, gobble. Gobble, gobble. Gobble, gobble. Gobble, gobble, gobble. Gobble, gobble. Well, good morning, everybody. And happy Saturday to all of you, especially to our affiliates over there, Delmarva and Lime City Radio. Good morning, good afternoon to you guys, actually. So we've had a semi-full house today. I got producer Casey. I've got Steve Silva.
That's me.
Yes, it is. And I'm Sean Robertson. This is your Weekly Dose podcast.
We thank you for joining us today as we are streaming live to you from Orange County, California. If you're new to your Weekly Dose, this program is about having fun and laughing.
Oh, gosh, that's right. Laughing is all the things we experience in everyday life, the embarrassments, the silly things, the awkward things, the fun things, of course, even the naughty things.
You know, the things that connect us all, the things that make us human. And as they say, laughter is the best medicine.
And to all of our listeners, old and new, we always love it when you guys are part of our show. So join the conversation. You can do that in several ways. Comment on our website, yourweeklydose.com.
Send a message via Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1.
Say hello to us on Facebook at yourweeklydose.
Or if you want to send us a personal message, you can email us at yourweeklydose1 at gmail.com.
And we got a pretty cool show for you guys today. Of course, this is our Thanksgiving show. But we're going to start things off with about 10:15 with sports with Oz Davis. We got Thanksgiving tweets, pickup lines for you single people out there for Thanksgiving, the best and worst dishes for Turkey Day. We're going to replay the West Wing Butterball phone call, Thanksgiving facts, and then we even have a double feature Thanksgiving-themed pocket-sized cinema for you guys today, too.
Every time you say double feature, I think of Rocky Horror. You know, you can always download past shows for free from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, you can subscribe through iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify. Just search Weekly Dose. Most importantly, tell the world what you think. Rate and review the show.
Please do, yes. And today's theme song was Let's Turkey Trot by Little Ava. And I know you guys are kind of familiar with her because she's the one who gave us the locomotion. So remember, please go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and download any of the music through Amazon that we play on the show. And it was funny because I didn't realize how much Little Ava actually has out there. She actually has quite a few songs that I was not really aware of.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, Locomotion was like her big, big, big hit. Mm-hmm. So kind of cool. So make sure you guys go ahead and do that and help us with the show, because clicking on that banner, they give us a little bit back. And, of course, with Christmas coming up and everything, and, of course, Thanksgiving, get your Thanksgiving decorations through Amazon and some Christmas gifts, do all your shopping, and it's easy.
Yeah, I'm done.
You're done already?
Oh, yeah.
What'd you get me?
Nothing.
Nice. I love it when he gets me nothing. No, I'm serious, because, like, I can bounce nothing. I can even put nothing on.
You can wear it as a hat.
Ooh. I can wear it as a hat.
A brooch.
A brooch.
A pterodactyl.
Absolutely.
That's a way to find a silver lining, huh?
And Leo's getting large. Oh, my gosh, yes. Anyway, guys. So, well, you know what? Since we're running quickly today, let's go ahead and catch up. Well, I've had an interesting week.
Why don't you go first, Sean?
Okay, I'm gonna go first.
Give us the get-go.
Well, Thursday night, I went out and I got to do a jam session.
Mm-hmm.
So, which was kind of cool over Hacienda Heights. I was kind of hoping for Boysenberry, but I know that's a far stretch because that's you can only get that in one place, you know.
Yeah.
But no, it was a music jam session. It was kind of a bluesy kind of a thing, so which was kind of cool. And I got to sit on with. I actually borrowed the guitar. I didn't take any of my stuff down. I just went down to go watch. But the gal Sonia, who invited me, she goes, "No, why don't you go ahead and sit in?" So I played guitar on a couple of songs, then. Switched over on drums for a couple of songs and everything, so it wasn't too bad. It was pretty cool.
That sounds like fun.
It was fun. It was fun. Kind of interesting because the bar itself was very small, so it was no bigger than my bottom floor.
Right.
Basically, it was literally no bigger than that, and to have these guys come in, bring in like these really like 50-watt amps and stuff. I was like. little powerful there.
We're gonna blow the roof off this sucker.
Oh yeah, and then there was like at one point where the other drummer was like, I mean, he was hitting hard to where I thought I was feeling the kick on my chest, and I'm sitting off to the side, so I'm not getting the barrage of sound or whatever. And I forgot to take my earplugs. I'm like going, ah, damn it. But yeah, I only had like two drinks or whatever. And then after they got loud, I'm just like, there was no dynamics in the songs at all whatsoever. Nobody knew how to bring it down. Everything was boom at 11, and that was it.
In your face.
It was. I'm like, you guys don't do that with blues. It comes down, it goes up, it comes down, it goes up. And there was literally no dynamics at all whatsoever. So, but I still had a good time, so it was kind of nice. And then
that's good.
And then we're house sitting, or not house sitting, we're pet sitting this week. I have a visitor at my house, that is. Which is a friend's dog, Precious.
It's Precious.
Hey, my Precious. And she is a Maltese dog, a little lap dog kind of thing. And yesterday I got really pissed at her, though.
Uh-oh.
Well, she goes out in the backyard, and she does her thing, you know. And she found somebody else's poo-poo.
Uh-oh.
And she got hungry, and she was eating a cat's poo-poo. And of course,
you crazy Dutch bastard.
Yep, exactly, because after she wanted to come up and lick me, I went, no.
Oh, get away.
No, you got caca mouth. You're a poo-poo eater. You're a poo-poo eater. And I'm like, no. And she's looking at me like, what? Well, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm like, bull, you ate poo-poo. And no, you're not going to lick me. So I went to Petco and looking for like these doggy treats where it supposedly gives the dog fresh breath, you know, and cleans the teeth and everything they have. So I got one of those. I'm going down the aisle for looking for this stuff. I can't tell you how much products there are, how many products there are just for doggy breath. Alone.
I guess it's a real problem.
It is. I mean, I can understand the treats, you know, to give the dog fresh breath.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand buying toothbrushes and special toothpaste for your dog. I get it. You know, it's a specially built a toothbrush, you know.
Right.
I get it. Okay. The one I don't get... is they actually have Listerine for dogs. How does the dog swish that in his mouth?
Yeah, and then gargle.
And gargle. Yeah. I don't understand. How do you make the dog gargle with this?
You waterboard him.
Is that what it is? Oh, shit.
You lay back on a board and you pour the Listerine from about a foot above his mouth.
Sounds like Chewbacca. Casey, you've got two dogs.
Yes.
How do you make a dog use Listerine?
Yeah, you just put it in their water.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes. Yeah, it's just an additive into the water that you usually just put in. It's got like essential oils of peppermint and stuff like that just to help try to curb some of that.
And the dogs like this shit?
They will drink it.
They will drink it.
Some won't. I mean,
some won't.
Yeah.
They're thirsty.
Yeah. You don't put much in it. It's not
so
like
you run,
you
run them real fast first.
Yeah.
And then put the stuff in their bowl.
Yeah, I mean, think of it as kind of like when you buy those flossers in the store and you floss your tooth and that one tooth is now all minty. And then the rest of your teeth are just...
I don't know. I'm not from Alabama, but okay. That one tooth.
That one tooth. Well, yeah, but it's always just the first tooth that you floss. Oh. You're like, oh, wow, that was minty. And rest of your teeth, you're just like, oh, not nearly as refreshing. Yeah.
Okay.
As that first one.
Got it. Okay.
That's pretty much, yeah, what it is.
Okay. All right. But you don't give it to them straight, though. You have to mix it in with their water.
Yeah,
though.
Usually.
What happens if you give it to them straight?
They behave better.
I like that.
Yes.
I like that. They behave better. Simple.
I know.
But, I mean, there was, like, several different bottles, you know, in sizes and companies of doggy wash and, you know, mouthwash for doggies and stuff. I couldn't believe it. Like I said, I can understand the toothbrushes. I can understand the kibble stuff, whatever the treat, you know, and, you know, they crunch it and it cleans their teeth and stuff, whatever. I can understand the toothpaste going along with the toothbrush or whatever. I just could not understand how in the hell do you give Listerine to a dog?
Mm-hmm.
You put it in the water. Okay.
I have an idea for a product. Is pet toilet paper.
Okay. You know what the other thing I actually saw over there? Was diapers for dogs.
Dog diapers, yeah.
I could not believe it. I'm just like, wow. And the pictures of these dogs, you know how like a dog always looks sad? Okay? You know, and that's what it was. It was one of these pictures where the dog is wearing the diaper and he's like standing, you know, and looking over his shoulder.
And Sean's turning, he's got his butt toward me and he's turning and looking at me.
And it's looking like,
yeah.
Hey, how you doing? I'm wearing a diaper, you know. I mean, these poor dogs, they got to do the photography.
That was a great pose.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You want to get on all fours for you, too?
There you go.
But, I mean, it was sad. They all, not one dog was like, had his mouth open and his tongue hanging out like, I'm wearing a diaper. And it was like, hey.
Yeah,
I fucked up. I'm wearing a diaper. You know, I was like, wow. I'm like, wow. Okay, all right. Poor doggies, you know. It's just like, yeah. Kind of remind me of the men in the JCPenney catalogs, you know, wearing underwear. It's like,
hey.
And then there's nothing there, you know.
Yeah,
like one of those things. So, but anyway. But yeah, so that was my trip to the pet store or whatever, because my visiting dog had caca mouth. And it wasn't even her own. It was somebody else's. That's what pissed me off most. It was a cat.
I don't know if that makes it any better.
That's what I'm saying.
One way or the other.
Now you know why I went to get the treats. It's like, if you're going to lick me, no, two of them. Take two. Lick me later, you know.
Lick me later. Rain check.
You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, but she's a cute dog. I mean, we babysat
she is.
For her before. So that was my week, and going to be my week is the dog's going to stay with us through Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
stay with us through Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
cock him a poo poo eater downstairs somewhere. Whatever. How was your week though, Steve?
Oh, just wonderful. The only thing that goes on other than coming in here is like my fantasy football. And I won last week.
Oh, awesome, dude.
So now I am in third place with a record of 6-4.
So you went from 6 to 3rd.
Yeah.
Nice.
The problem is...
Uh-oh.
There was a game on Thursday, and my quarterback and my tight end were playing. And, let's just say I got bombed.
Oh,
so I'm starting the week out way behind. Like
Did it drop you, though, or...?
That will be decided after that. That's decided after each week. After Monday night, on Tuesday they do that.
Okay.
So, but if I lose, you know, this weekend, yeah, I'll probably drop down.
Uh-huh.
But I hope not. I still have some favorable players who look like they're going to do good. They're They're really good players, and they're playing against weaker teams this week. So I'm still hopeful, but oh my gosh, I was so disappointed Thursday night.
You know what? Speaking of your fantasy football, I love this sound. This only means one thing. That means we got Ask Davis.
We know how to segue.
With sports. Damn right. Well, at least our producer does.
Yeah.
So we don't know how to do shit, but our producer, she kicks ass. Oz, how are you, brother?
Hey, let's sports away.
How was your week, brother? Was it pretty good?
Yep. Staying busy. Staying, doing some interesting work. But yeah.
Good. Really good. Glad to hear it. Good. Hey, real quick, have you... do you go out to the movies that much?
You know what? Nowadays, of course not. But I watch a lot of movies.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
I love them.
If you get a chance, if you want to go out, you know, wear the mask or whatever kind of thing and whatever you need to do, you know, be in a bubble, I don't care. You got to go see Ghostbusters Afterlife.
You know, I've been dying to see that. I feel like this is the Ghostbusters movie they should have made. Instead of redoing that, instead of like that weird remake reboot kind of thing with the new casting, I really think that this is the movie they should have made.
Well, let's put it this way.
But yeah, I'm totally.
Let's put it this way. This now makes Ghostbusters an absolute trilogy now.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It really does. I'm not going to spoil anything or whatever, but I'll say if you are a Ghostbusters fan in general, you have to go see this movie. It ties everything in.
Who wasn't? Who wasn't? If you were around in the 80s, who wasn't a Ghostbusters fan?
Right.
One year that song was everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Very true. Very true. Yeah.
Is that in the movie? Is Ray Parker's song in the new movie?
Yeah, I think they have it at the end. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have it at the end.
I'm sure they do.
So, and it's really good, though. I mean, great script. And just how they tie everything in is just amazing.
I'm looking forward
to it. Yeah, definitely go see it. Definitely go see it. So, all right, sports, buddy. Baseball. Ohtani.
Hey.
Dude. Yes.
Let's give it to our man, Shohei Ohtani. Okay, in 1921, let's go back 100 years. That was when Babe Ruth converted full-time to being a hitter. Now, that year, he hit 59 home runs and .393 batting average. And right here, you know, all year, past couple of years, I've been saying that this guy is the reincarnation of Babe Ruth. This year, he only hit .257, but 46 home runs, 8 triples, which led the league. Just when I was thinking nobody hit triples anymore, and 26 stolen bases, which is a lot this year.
Wow.
In terms of pitching, started 23 games, went 9-2. Now, of course, nowadays, your starter never goes long enough to get a proper win, but 3.18 ERA. Really good. And for those who like the violence, he had a 1.09 whip and a 9.1 war.
Damn, that's a good record, man. That's just a damn good record.
Yeah, I mean, just an outstanding player, and it's too bad that the Anaheim Angels aren't going anywhere. It's too bad that nobody pays attention to them. It's too bad baseball is so unpopular in general these days, because this guy is a once-in-a-generation player.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely true. I mean, he is just one heck of a player. He's one of those that I think he's a well-rounded player that you don't get to see that often, you know, especially in a pitcher position.
Yeah, again, it's once in a lifetime. Just when the National League is about to make the DH, like, forever there, just then do we get a proper two-way player. That, I mean, again, literally goes back 90, 100 years.
Wow. Just amazing.
This skill set just doesn't exist anymore.
Right. Wow, that's pretty awesome. That's pretty amazing, though.
Awesome. He was unanimously, he got all 30 votes for the MVP.
Yeah.
And unanimous. Yeah. Pretty hard to imagine. Now, this is something that you wouldn't have seen 90, 100 years ago, a guy hitting .257, you know, getting MVP. But that is the status of baseball now.
Amazing. Very cool. And what's going on with basketball?
Well, this program is supposed to be representing the Lakers, but geez, they just dropped one to the Celtics last night. The Celtics, they're down to 7-8 now. So the real news, I think the real move for basketball fans, I think especially for the millennial basketball fans out there, is how about them Warriors?
How about them Warriors?
How about them Warriors? Steph Curry are looking a little bit, a lot like Phil Jackson and Michael Jordan there, going for the second trilogy of championship runs. They're 14-2 right now. Mm-hmm. Curry is good for 29.5 points, 6 rebounds, and 6.5 assists per game. I mean, I would say he's back, but he never left. You know, it's like a don't call it a comeback. He's been here for years. Otto Porter and Andrew Wiggins are two guys who have been in the league for about a half a dozen years each, never really lived up to their potential, are doing so this year. Nemanja Bjelica from Serbia is having a great season as a big guy. Andre Iguodala and Draymond Green are still there, and Klay Thompson hasn't even come back yet. You can just see why this team is so popular with young folks. I mean, just an exciting, wide-open game, a lot of fun. Steph Curry is just so charismatic. Great, great team. Great team, a lot of fun. I'm not going to switch my loyalty from the Lakers, but definitely all eyes on the Warriors this year.
Very cool. So do you think they've got a shot going all the way then this year? Or?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, this is going to be one of those things where we look back and say, damn, we were foolish for doing that. I mean, we're a little bit spoiled with Tom Brady, who can make the championship every year. And we forget that even Michael Jordan had to take a couple of years off. Right. You know, it's really tough to keep a core together in basketball and whip off 5, 6, 7, 8 championships. You know, it's hard to do that. In football, you need a quarterback. You know, but in basketball, real tough to keep 3 or 4 guys together, 5 guys together, and go the whole distance. I mean, you look at that second Bulls trilogy, that team's a lot different from the first one.
Right.
They swapped out basically all their key players except for Scottie Pippen, who's now stabbing Michael Jordan in the back, by the way.
Yeah, wow.
Exactly.
I had a busy week. Scottie Pippen had a busy week slagging off Michael Jordan.
I want to know more about this.
Oh, my God. Well, Scottie, and I mean, I think this was in fact, I know it was in response to The Last Dance, the highly successful Netflix miniseries that ran, I believe, in 2020 during the pandemic. And now Scottie wants to do a little bit of revisionist history. Of course, you know, not to kick a guy while he's been down for a long time, but Scottie, of course, is famous for never getting paid what he was worth and squandering what money he did make.
I have the same problem.
Well, there you go, except you're not playing for, you know, a 6-time champ at a Hall of Famer. I mean, no offense.
Yeah, no. It's the, you know, the basketball court down the street. So, yeah, I get it.
But and it really seems like a crass attempt at a cash grab. You know, he was going out saying, well, you know, a lot of us ex-Bulls felt bad about The Last Dance, and it turned into this Michael Jordan ego fest. And I went and talked to a lot of guys, and I was thinking, oh, yeah, I can just see you sitting down and talking with Tony Kukoc, you know, the guy you tried to destroy in the 92 Olympics. You know, I can just see him sitting down and talking to Luke Longley. Yeah, what did you go down to Australia and say, hey, dude, how'd you feel about not being in The Last Dance at all? You know? Right, I mean, yeah. Pippen is just being completely disingenuous here, and it's really unbecoming. I mean, the guy just got named to the NBA all-time 75 best players team, you know, and like, he can't turn that into something positive. No, he's got to try and slag off, you know, a legend.
Right.
A legend. You know, just it's just really unseen. Really unseen.
Huh. I had no idea.
Yeah. Who knew?
I know.
Correct. All right. Moving on to football. Really, Dallas, do you think they're going to be going to the Super Bowl?
Well, they're looking great, right? I mean, everything's coming together. Their draft picks are coming together. Dak Prescott is staying on the field. Ezekiel Elliott is still Ezekiel Elliott. But for me, the real important thing about the Dallas Cowboys is they're about to break the Hard Knocks curse. Okay. Hard Knocks is the reality, so-called reality series by HBO, which features a team in training camp every year.
Okay.
Now, only twice in the 16 years or so this show has been running has a team that's been on Hard Knocks made the playoffs. Both of those times, it was because HBO had made an exception to the 3 rules they have for getting teams on the show, which are: one, you can't have been on the show in the last 8 years. You can't have a first-year head coach, and you can't have made the playoffs the previous year. All right?
Okay.
So now, for football bettors, you might want to keep this in mind. If your team is on Hard Knocks, that means that these conditions are probably setting you up for a losing season. But here's the Cowboys. Last year, you know, Dak Prescott went down early. The team went nowhere, less than 500 record. This year, they're on top of the world. They're going to break the Hard Knocks curse. Wow. And Jerry Jones will be in stock.
I'll be darned. Wow. Now, how many games do we have left in the season right now?
Okay. It's hard to tell, isn't it? They added the one game this year, and all the 17 games suddenly seems very long. So we're in week 11 right now, okay. But teams have played varying schedules. So it's about 7 more games per team.
Okay. And how do you think Dallas is going to fare through the rest of the season on this right now?
Well, it's so hard to tell, isn't it? Because this season is so long, these teams are going on these 3-4 game jags, you know, and they look good for 3 or 4 games. They look bad for 3 or 4 games. Everybody writes them off and they come back. Right now, the Eagles were written off as dead. Now they've won a few in a row. People are starting to pay attention to them. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to say, but Dallas is about the only team in the NFC on that side that's kept all their players out there. They had an off game against Denver, but everybody has one bad game. They bounced right back from that and destroyed Atlanta last week before the Patriots turned around and destroyed Atlanta on Thursday night. So they could easily cruise. No one else in the NFC has really stepped up. So I don't see why not.
And if they do, this will be, what, the first time since the mid-90s?
Yeah. Yeah.
That Dallas would go?
Yeah, the first time then they were a dynasty. In fact, since then, since the Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith days, they've only won one playoff game since Troy Aikman retired.
Jeez.
So this is, you know, America's team has not exactly been, what do they call themselves in Green Bay, City of Champions? Hasn't exactly been that. Title town. Right. They haven't exactly been title town in the 21st century, but they could do it this year. They could, God help them.
I think it would be kind of nice to see them get back in because – and the only reason is that my wife is a huge Dallas fan. She doesn't watch as much as she used to, though. But I remember how exciting it was during the Aikman, you know, days and everything, because they went back to back with the Buffalo Bills kicked their ass both times. You know,
they were awesome.
I thought me and Karen were friends.
I was just going to say, you must have a Giants fan sitting right next to you.
No, I'm an Eagles fan.
Eagles fan, okay.
Yeah, it's one or the other, right?
Which is weird because you're from Jersey. I think it would be, you know, at least New York.
No, the Giants are posers. Their stadium is in my state, and they're not from my state. I want nothing to do with them. We'll go with Philadelphia.
Okay. Oh, God. Nice. And the other one you're talking about, too, was the Patriots. So do you think it might come down?
Well, the thing about the Patriots is, wow. I mean, you know, I've talked about this. On all the other teams basically have ups and downs, okay? The exceptions are like, you know, the Texans, who have never been up all year. But, and the Lions, you know. Almost every other team has had their ups and downs, except for the Patriots. Patriots are the only team that have consistently looked better pretty much week to week. They keep getting better and better and better. And the worst thing is that here's Mac Jones, you know, young stud rookie quarterback. He goes from the most insufferable team in college football, Alabama, to what could very well become, again, the most insufferable team in pro football. And here are the Patriots. The Patriots could be the Darth Vader of the league again for another 15 years.
Wow.
I'm a big believer in the bad guy being good for sports, and I'm also a big believer in dynasties being good for sports. I think it's good to have that Darth Vader figure. I think it's good to have that, you know, Wrath of Khan figure that everybody's trying to knock off, and that when you do beat them, it's special. It's fantastic.
Oh, I felt that way about the Raiders for years.
Yeah, you know, but again,
I mean, prerequisite is you have to be in jail for at least 5 years minimum. You know.
Yeah.
between them and the Bengals.
Yeah. But here's one thing that really kind of shocked me, though, and because I know you sent over some of the stuff that we were going to talk about today, Oz. I didn't even know the Buccaneers were still around. Because when you sent me the thing about Antonio Brown, I'm like, oh, he's talking about the Browns. Oh, wait, no, it's the Buccaneers. They still have a team?
You know? Yeah, you may have heard of them. They're defending champs.
Yeah, and what's going on with Antonio Brown?
Well, the wild thing about... Okay, so Antonio Brown was trying to pass a fake vaccination card to his team. And, you know, he's facing like $100,000 fine for this. You know, who knows if he's going to get a suspension or whatnot. But the thing that blows my mind is you've got to be kidding. Okay, like granted, this was the late 90s. But in the late 90s, I worked in Alaska for a couple of years. And there was a bunch of Mexican guys there. And they used to brag about how they could buy a green card for $25 on the street. Now, mm-hmm. Here's Antonio Brown. Making millions of dollars. This guy can't get something better than what you would buy in a high school bathroom? I mean, seriously, like why can't he couldn't get a nice one? I mean, he could have called Microsoft and had a designer made one that was foolproof. I mean, it would have been better than the real thing. I mean, that's what blows my mind. Is that like, jeez. Invest a little money if you're going to fake it this way. All Aaron Rodgers did was dodge the question.
Right.
Like, dude, act like you've been there, too. Clearly, Antonio Brown was not the guy buying beer for his friends when he was 16. This is not him. You could not depend on this guy.
Yeah.
Jeez, who's he going to? Who's he going to get this fake card? Dude, come on, up your game.
Got to do something about it or whatever. Yeah, I totally agree. I saw the thing. I'm just like going, wow, that's pretty funny. You know, here you are. Like you said earlier, you're making millions of dollars. You know, because of your position, and you can't get a good fake vax card.
Oh yeah, there was one like this in hockey too, where a guy got busted for a fake vax card, and you know it was pretty much felt that, you know, oh yeah, this guy is a scapegoat. Because I mean, look, you've got a league with a bunch of Russians in it, you know, and a bunch of Czechs in it. These guys know how to work the system.
Okay. I would have asked one of them instead of going to Three Finger Lou.
Exactly. And then just make sure that it's not in Cyrillic print. As long as it's in Latin letters, you're fine.
Oh, man. Okay. And last but not least, whatever, I didn't even know this existed, but Jimmy Kimmel has his own bowl
game. Isn't this great? I'm so looking forward to this. On December 18th, we will see the first Jimmy Kimmel LA Bowl, which is, of course, it's being held at SoFi Stadium, right?
Really?
And oh yeah. And the setup is right there in Englewood. They want to show off the stadium a little bit. Okay. I don't know how he got this. It's obvious why he got this, because he's going to do a lot of stuff in conjunction with his show and his game. The game will pit. Let's see. It's the winner of the Mountain West versus the number 5 team in the Pac-12. Which sets up something really interesting, because right now that's either going to be Utah State or San Diego State against either Oregon State or UCLA. So it'd be nice to have that San Diego State-UCLA game right here in Los Angeles. And the key question for the weekly dose is, are you guys going to get me a press pass to that game?
Hey, got to talk to our producer.
All right.
Got to talk to our producer.
Going to give me a press pass for that game?
Yeah, here we go. Yeah, she's on it right now. Yeah. She just picked up the phone.
Make a note.
All right.
What do you know what made Kimmel decide to do this, though? Or
well, I mean, Kimmel is a big sports fan. You remember he broke in with Best Damn Sports Show.
Uh-huh.
Right, that was his first show on network TV. So he's just a big sports guy. I think, you know, he lives here in L.A., and I think they just, you know, they went to him rather than Conan O'Brien or, you know, one of the other late-night guys, because he kind of has that association with sports. And he's also the one that gave Bill Simmons his first big break, right? And now, you know, Bill Simmons is king of the sports podcast world. Right. So, and, you know, he was the producer on that 30 for 30 series. It's a huge deal for ESPN as well. So Kimmel, yeah, I guess, you know, just a fan. I don't know. It's a great, crazy thing, because nobody I've not really found why.
Right.
They
yeah.
chose, except for the free publicity. And, you know, Kimmel goes down as the third person ever to have a bowl game named after him. After John Hancock and Papa John.
Wow. That's true. All right. So, yeah. What that's a trend. That's a good trend to follow. Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be great.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the Khloe Kardashian bowl.
Oh God. I'm not even going to be involved with that one unless lingerie is involved. So,
other than that, forget it. Yeah, you can host a lingerie pool.
Yeah, I'd rather watch that one instead anyway. So, awesome. Always good to have you, buddy. Guys, if you want to hear any of other Oz's show, you can get him on sportshistorynetwork.com. He's there. He's got about 3 or 4 shows you guys can check out. And there's a few other shows on there, too, that you guys might find interesting. Oz, always good to have you, brother.
Yeah. Thanks.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
And happy Thanksgiving, brother.
Thanks, Oz.
Take care. I'm kind of amazed by that, though, that Jimmy Kimmel got involved with something of that nature.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I didn't think I could get away with blowing farts on the air all the time through that entire sports. I was like, Jimmy Kimmel.
Do you like Kimmel?
No, not even a little bit. Do you think he'll be funny again if he gets this new gig?
I don't know. I mean, I've never found him. I found him entertaining, but I don't think he's funny, though. You know, but I think he's definitely entertaining. I think he's definitely a good interviewer, though, overall.
Yeah, I can give you that.
You know, definitely for sure on that. I think the same way. I think Conan O'Brien is both funny and a good interviewer.
I love Conan O'Brien.
Yeah. Oh no, Conan's great. Conan's great. I'll be honest. I mean, I like him, but I don't care for the show that much. Even though there's things about it that are very creative, though. But is Jimmy Fallon taking over for the Tonight Show? You know, there's some creative stuff that's there that he does that I'm thinking, okay, that's kind of cool, you know, that he does with celebrities or whatever. But it's, I think every time he'll laugh at something or whatever, I always feel like it's overreacting kind of a thing, you know, because it's always the same or whatever. And the interviews are, they're okay, you know, but I do like Kimmel's interviews. I think those are more entertaining than anybody else out there besides Conan O'Brien, though. You know, as far as who's out there now. Yeah. So
I'll give you that.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know what, guys? You know what we were talking about earlier? Thanksgiving is coming up this coming Thursday. And what better than to celebrate it with some tweets about Thanksgiving? Ooh. Way to go, Steve.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see here. I like this one here. It says, hashtag overheard at Thanksgiving dinner. Yes, I'm still single. No, I'm not a lesbian. Please pass the wine.
I love Thanksgiving. Can't wait to slave for hours over a meal my kids will rudely reject in front of relatives who are judging my parenting.
That can be so true at times.
Yeah. Wow.
That can be so true. I love this one, though. I carry a stone around to throw at anyone I hear singing Christmas songs before Thanksgiving. I call it my Jingle Bell Rock.
Okay.
That's a good one, isn't it?
I like that one.
That's a good one, yeah.
Okay. Aunt, you know tattoos are a lifetime commitment. Nephew, but your marriage wasn't.
Ooh, slam. Out. Slam.
That's right.
Gave Auntie a bloody nose right there.
Talk to me about myself, lady. Who are you talking to? Let's see here. Okay. My Thanksgiving is the day after when I eat cold turkey sandwich in the middle of the night over the kitchen sink in my underwear alone.
Boy, those cold turkey sandwiches are so good.
They are.
Oh, yeah. I love that. Lots of mayonnaise and mustard and salt and pepper and
God, turkey. This man.
Food is just receptacles for mayo.
This
is. It is just a means of movement from the jar to the mouth of all mayo.
I love Robin Williams' quote. He says, what does he say? He says that may, was it? Oh, damn it. Oh, shit. I forgot it now.
Well,
I had it in my mind.
For me, food is just a vehicle to get mayonnaise into my body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what it is. Robin Williams once said, he goes, that Gentiles are people who eat mayonnaise for no reason.
There you go. You just get the jar and a spoon and watch a sitcom and eat mayonnaise.
Okay, I have to ask you this then, since we're talking about mayonnaise.
Okay.
You make a sandwich.
Yeah.
You put mayo on.
Yeah.
After you got mayo on both slices of bread.
Right.
Do you put the knife in one more time and then just put that in your mouth?
I do lick the knife.
Now, one thing I will tell you about this man, if you ever go out eating with him, bring plenty of salt. This man will put salt on. I'm surprised that his sodium levels are not through the roof.
Do we know that they're not?
Go figure. They never have been.
Never. Yeah. He will salt fried chicken.
Oh, of course.
He will salt sausage.
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean?
He loves that MSG, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, boy, good God. All right. Is it my turn or your turn?
Let's see. It's my turn.
Yeah.
Everyone's all, turkey makes you sleepy. Like, what? Like it, not all the alcohol you drank. Not like all the alcohol you drank to tolerate family. I'm still confused. I kind of understand what they're trying to say, but how it's written here is odd. Like it's not
all the alcohol that you drank.
Yeah.
So in other words, the turkey makes you sleepy.
Oh, turkey makes you sleepy. Like it's not all the alcohol you drank to the tolerate family.
Heard that. Punctuation is important, ladies and gentlemen. Commas in the right places.
And spelling a word.
Copy and paste. Copy and paste. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Let's pull the curtain again.
Okay.
Like we did last week.
Boy, thanks, Caleb. All that smoke coming out of there.
I thought you wrote these. Good thing you're not here. I'm working a job now. All right. Let's see. My mother asked me what I was going to make for this year for Thanksgiving. I said, a scene.
Mm-hmm.
That's the safest.
Yeah, make a scene.
Yeah, mm-hmm. make a scene.
Absolutely. My most reliable thing.
Okay. Call your dad now and ask him what the Wi-Fi password is so he has time to find the little paper it's written on before Thanksgiving.
That is so true. Yeah. If I never wake up from this food coma, please tell my family I died doing what I love.
I don't start my holiday shopping until after Thanksgiving when I found out which family members I'm still in good terms with.
That is so true.
Yeah.
That is so true.
Yeah, that's why it's Black Friday.
Is that to identify the black sheep?
Yeah. Oh, I like this one here. This Thanksgiving, for the first time ever, your drunk uncle will seem quite presidential. Because he's drunk.
Okay.
Obviously, you don't have a drunk uncle.
Okay, 4-year-old. Can we have pizza for Thanksgiving? Dad, the pilgrims didn't eat pizza. 4-year-old. Their dad was probably mean, too.
Let's see. I'm going to do the same thing I do every Thanksgiving. Talk to no one and get my drunk on while dancing with the family dog.
Yes. There you go.
Correct.
And you got two dogs to dance with.
I sure do.
Damn right.
Okay, I'm not sure how to read this next one.
You want me to read it?
You voted for you.
I need to proofread these now in the mornings for comma placement.
You voted for who?
Get out.
Get out. Okay. Yeah, there it is. You voted for who? Get out.
And the last one here. Thankful for Happy Thanksgiving Mass Texts from people that you haven't heard from since last year's Happy Thanksgiving Mass Text. That makes sense. A lot of sense. Mm-hmm. You get a bunch of those. And there you go, guys. Those are our tweets for Thanksgiving.
Woohoo. Tweet, tweet.
Retweet. Retweet. <what you said? laughs>
Tweet, tweet.
Well, for this next one, you know, there's going to be a lot of single people out there for Thanksgiving, you know, and sometimes you have what people call Friendsgiving, you know, when people kind of friends get together because they got nowhere else for us to go. Maybe they can't get back home.
I got nowhere else to go.
And, you know, it's kind of nice because at least you get to be with some friends.
Right.
Right. Sometimes there's couples, but most time there might be single little ladies or single guys there. You know? So, oh yeah, this puts me in the mood. Alright. Put up a little bit more. Put up a little, just a little bit. We gotta hear this. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. This gets us in the mood here. So Thanksgiving pickup lines.
Before we say that, I kinda have a question for Casey. Do you know what movie we just referenced?
Shoot, which line?
I got nowhere else to go.
Oh, no, I do not know what that's from.
Oh, that's Richard Gere, an officer and gentleman.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I do know who that actor is, though.
He's really good. Yeah, I see a movie by him called Breathless.
Breathless?
Yes.
I'll have to check that out.
Okay,
put it on my list.
Okay, now we're ready.
All right, here we go. So Thanksgiving pickup lines. The turkey isn't the only thing that on this table that needs basting.
Ooh.
Oh, hey, it's working already. See, Kenny G and these pickup lines, people.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong with Kenny G.
Hey, baby, let's make like the pilgrims and face plant on something rock hard.
Hold on here. What's the let's part? What's the we? That implies like a we thing. What are they falling on rock hard?
Hey, Casey.
Too much. Ooh.
I'm like Thanksgiving. I come multiple times a year across various countries.
Genghis Khan style.
Yeah, baby.
All right, Sean.
Let's see.
Steve.
Beat that, old man.
Okay.
You make my turkey timer pop.
All right, I got one.
You got one?
Hey, Casey.
Oh, yeah?
Let's make like mac and cheese and melt together.
Oh.
I got a ooh. I think something just perked up with her.
Oh. Yeah, well, you know. What do you say we go make my Plymouth rock?
Whoa.
It's a car.
Was that it? Your delivery
car,
was off on that.
Well,
he's been out of practice.
Not much to work with in that one.
Wait a minute. What do you mean there's not much to work with on that? Let me... Here. Hey, Casey.
Yes, Sean.
Let's go make my Plymouth rock.
Oh, yeah. See, it's all in the delivery.
See?
It is.
Don't roll your eyes.
All right, Steve.
All right.
Now we're back to you, Sean. All right. Okay.
Hey, Casey. The best part of Thanksgiving is the stuffing.
Jeez.
It's working, man. It's working, people. Take notes, guys. Kenny G and these pickup lines. It works.
Oh, okay. I'll try your best. Hey, Casey.
Yes, Steve.
Yes, you can butter my biscuit.
Oh, I see. Now that one just right.
That
go. One was
yeah.
good.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Casey.
Ooh, yes, Sean.
I think we should do a segment called Hey, Casey.
Hey, Casey.
You
know?
You're sweeter than a hot marshmallow on a candied yam.
See, now that I like. Those are my,
like
that's
that.
My favorite things, yeah.
I like that, too. Mm-hmm. Oh,
that was good.
And I'm going to lick it up.
all right, Casey. You're like a turkey dinner. I'll eat you with cranberry relish.
Whoa. That was a little Hannibal Lecter on me there.
mm. And it smells good, too.
All right. Hey, Casey.
Oh, yes, Sean.
They say that the legs to keep legs. Hold on.
legs.
You're a little too into it, Ron.
But, brain is fritzed on repeat.
Hey, Casey.
Yes, Sean.
How you doing? You know. All right, here we go.
Now you're speaking my language.
They say that tying the legs together keeps everything moist.
Wow.
Put Kenny back on. Yeah, put Kenny back on. It's working.
It's working. That even shut Kenny off. You know, it's one thing you turn the girls away, but that completely shut Kenny G off. Okay, here we are. We're at the last one. So,
we almost did it in all of Kenny G.
Yeah, I know.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
Casey.
Casey.
You better save room for dessert, because the best flavor of pie is me.
Wow. I thought you were going to say the best part of the pie is the cream, but...
I'll give you some cream.
Yeah, right? I thought that was definitely where we were going with that one.
Have you ever heard Craig Shoemaker do his Love Master?
No.
Oh,
I have to listen to that.
Oh, yeah, they're good.
Yes.
They're good. After the show, I'll pull it up. It's nice. So good. All right, there you go, guys. So that's Thanksgiving pickup lines. So remember, re-listen to the show, get yourself some Kenny G, and
now you know which ones are Casey approved.
Because when she goes, oh my.
Well, you're going to need a portable wireless speaker to carry with you so you can put on the bar and
you
play Kenny G.
You have to be serenaded in the process.
Yeah. It has to
just
be
not
Kenny
the same.
G there. Yeah.
I know. I'm going to have to tell Mateo he's going to have to step it up after this.
I love Kenny G. I thought, especially when he hit it big, you know, in the early 90s and everything. I remember going to Karen and I going to a concert of his, and it was at the Universal Amphitheater. And after one of his, you know, really nice romantic songs, whatever, what have you, you know, everybody applauded and they kind of quieted it down, you know. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you hear a man go, "God, I'm horny." And where, I mean, even Kenny G heard it and he started laughing his ass off.
That's hot.
I'm like, all right, yeah. And you just hear everybody bust laughing up, man. It was good. It was really, really good. Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, again, Thanksgiving is this coming Thursday. We got a bunch of foodies in here kind of thing. You know,
I was just thinking we should keep playing the Kenny G through this one, too. We need to do that.
Yeah, I know, but this one's from the Addams Family. I wanted to play the Addams Family's Thanksgiving song.
What do you got?
Oh.
Yeah.
It's a big...
That's a good full crazy.
Chop off my legs and put them in your mouth.
Eat me.
Saute the barbecue.
Beat me.
We want some pets, but now we're blue. Won't stay fresh for very long. So eat us before we finish this song.
Oh, that's so good. We got to put that up on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
That's good. We got to put that up on the Facebook page. All right. So now that you've gotten, you know, the pickup lines, you're going to be there at dinner and everything. What is the worst or best side dishes for Thanksgiving? And Steve, you got the list there going, I think, from worst.
Just me?
Yeah, from worst to best.
Okay. Starting with number 13. This was Sean's favorite for so long. Brussels sprouts.
Oh, yeah. I love Brussels sprouts.
I
really
do, too.
I can't stand them. They're so freaking bitter.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. That's a genetic thing? Brussels sprouts and broccoli. Do you like broccoli?
Love broccoli.
Really weird. Love yeah, broccoli is actually like...
Oh, put that fake Velveeta cheese on it.
Well, no, that's not broccoli anymore.
Oh, that's so good. That's
it's,
good
it's not broccoli anymore.
That's
after
good
that. Really?
Now I'm...
You're like that about the Velveeta cheese, but mayo. Let's put some mayo on that broccoli.
I love mayo,
and your
Velveeta yeah. cheese. That's... Oh, that's...
There's only one
plastic.
Time that I enjoyed broccoli. My mom did something different. Steve was there.
Yeah, she cooked carrots.
Well, that too. But no, but my mom did something with the Brussels sprouts, and it wasn't bad. I tried them. I went, okay, this is different. I don't know what she did a little bit differently.
You saute them in butter and stuff, so and the frying helps. Like with onions, you fry onions and you lose that bitter taste.
See, I don't have a problem with onions at all.
I know. Well, Brussels sprouts, same thing. If you fry them like that, it will ease up on that bitter taste.
I can't remember what she did. I think like she baked them or something or whatever. She did something different.
Yeah.
And it wasn't bad. I went, okay, this is palatable for me. Mm. It was palatable. But overall, yeah, no. Yeah. All right, what's next?
Yeah.
Okay, number 12, roasted carrots.
I don't mind them. Those are good. Roasted
like
carrots. Yeah.
Number 11 is squash.
Can't stand squash.
Really?
Yeah. Squash is not my
thing. I like squash. Okay. Traditional cranberry sauce. I guess they mean handmade.
Handmade, yeah.
Made from scratch,
right,
as it were.
My in-laws make a great version of that. They
everybody
do really, really
has
different.
A different version yeah. of cranberry sauce. It's in there. That should be something we should do is find out all the different ingredients that people
have for different recipes.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting, yeah.
Okay, number 9, apples. Just baked
by themselves?
Or? Baked apples.
I know my mom puts it in her stuffing.
Yeah.
You know, but other than that, you know, I don't.
Well, you know, people, like, you core them and then you pour stuff on, like brown sugar or stuff like that and bake them.
Oh.
So it comes out like a baked squash, only it's a baked apple.
Interesting, okay.
Number 8, this is one of my favorite things. When I used to go down to Gulliver's down there by the airport and have prime rib, it's the creamed corn.
Oh.
I like that.
Yeah.
If it's made right.
Yeah.
It had a sweet. They put something like honey or sugar or something in it to make it sweeter and cream and.
What's the other prime rib place though that's real famous up in L.A.? Is it Lowry's?
Lowry's?
Is it Lowry's?
Yeah, the same Lowry's that make the secret salt.
Okay, their cream corn. I remember as going in as a teenager one time having the prime rib
and walking out as
a blimp because their cream corn, oh my god, it was so good.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
I mean, I was like Oliver,
Lisa, may I have some more?
Oh god, it was so good. Yeah.
Okay, number 7 is just the basic staple of mashed potatoes.
Okay,
I like mashed potatoes with they have gravy.
I don't mind the gravy. I like, gravy is good. I also don't mind what they call like the loaded ones where they mix in like the bacon bits and the onion. I don't mind that either.
I don't really get into that. Okay, then number 6 is sweet potatoes, which I like sweet potatoes.
I'll have the sweet potato fries, but like what they call the sweet potato or the candied yams.
They're my favorite.
Oh, you can have all of mine. Like I said, I'll lick the marshmallow off, and you can have the rest. I don't know what it is.
Casey.
Yeah. Hey, Casey.
At Thanksgiving, I really like to lick the marshmallow.
Gonna lick it off.
Okay, number
four. Just get to the yams and then leave them. Like a typical man.
I'm done.
What can I say? We tire easy. Okay, biscuits, rolls, and cornbread are
You
got to
have that. Yeah, you got to have at least biscuits and rolls. Absolutely.
And then here we're back to cranberry sauce, but from a can is more popular than handmade.
Interesting.
How about that? Number 3 is gravy for the mashed potatoes, for
now,
the stuffing.
Do you also put gravy on your turkey or just on your potatoes?
I put it on everything.
And add salt.
Do you guys make the gizzard gravy?
Yeah, my mom.
Or is
my mom,
it more like a sausage gravy?
My mom.
I do the gizzard gravy. It's
do
so
you?
Good. Oh yeah.
I'm not into gizzard.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and of course number two is stuffing.
Oh, so, that kind of goes, I think, with the. With the cranberry, original cranberry
same
sauce.
Cranberry sauce. Everybody
because there's
has,
so many different ways to right? make stuffing or whatever. And mm-hmm. please, people, stop buying Stovetop. Just stop.
Just love Stovetop.
Huh?
I love Stovetop.
I use it. I'll like when I'm like cooking something in the microwave that's sort of like a soup kind of thing where there's moisture and stuff, I'll take some Stovetop stuffing. And I'll just sprinkle some of it onto that, and then cook that, and it softens up, and like, and it really tastes.
See, I've used Stovetop to where it's like that layer for French onion soup kind of mm-hmm. thing, and then put cheese mm-hmm. on top of it. Mm-hmm. That's kind of cool. But just Stovetop for stop. Make it from damn scratch.
That's fair.
There you go.
That's fair.
It is. Well, like my mom. Oh my God, my mom puts like I feel like she puts in 15 different fruits or something or whatever. I mean, it's like apples and raisins and I don't know what else she puts into it. But
I would not be on board with that stuff.
But then she puts I think like two different sausages or something or whatever in the stuffing, and then actual breadcrumbs and stuff and mixes. I mean, my mom's stuffing lasts for days. It's good.
All right.
Well, how do you think I got like this?
I blame Karen.
Yeah, not you.
Okay, and number one.
He's talking
about growling from me.
Number one on our Thanksgiving side dishes rankings is green bean salad.
Really?
That's number one.
Green bean salad.
Everybody's aunt makes it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
The thing that I never understood is the carrot raisin salad.
Sorry.
Yeah. Help. Work with me here. Okay. Okay. You got raisins, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got the carrots.
Mm-hmm.
You chop up the carrots.
Mm-hmm.
You mix it in with the raisins.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
That's where it goes all wrong.
Where in the hell does the juice come from? How does the juice get in there?
There's something about, and this is totally serious, there's something about the flavor of carrots and raisins mixed together that makes me nauseous.
I don't blame you.
It literally does. And it has my whole life. And I used to, every once in a while, they'd have those shredded carrots in the cafeteria at elementary school with mm-hmm. the raisins in it. And I'd be sitting there, class would be going on, mm-hmm. I'd be in the cafeteria because I wasn't about to eat it because it made me throw up.
I don't blame you. I was that way with sauerkraut, so I get it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, seriously, you get a box of raisins, you chop up the carrots, you put them together, all of a sudden there's water in it. Where in the hell does that water come from?
Absorbs it.
I know. See, you're trying to figure it out. You're looking at me like going,
we're
you're
not,
in, what the
if
fuck
you
are
chop
you talking
up
about?
Carrots, but, there's juice in carrots.
But and
you,
grapes.
When you chop it up, there's nothing there. Now, but if you juice a
it's
carrot.
In there.
If you juice a carrot.
As you would a ham.
Yes.
Ugh.
Then, John Panette.
Got it.
Oh my God.
Then you know, then it makes sense. But I don't get it. I really don't. Anyway, all right. This is a tradition for us that I got to play for you guys here, and we're gonna kind of fast forward through some of it here and there. But if you were a fan of The West Wing. There is a scene in there for Thanksgiving where the president calls the Butterball Turkey Hotline. It is so good. And Aaron Sorkin did this script so well. You know, just play it. Let's just go. Here we go.
Cornbread, oysters, water chestnuts, and andouille sausage.
Sounds good.
Yeah. But Toby seemed to indicate that you had to be careful if you cooked it inside the turkey, because in some cases it doesn't cook, and when that happens, people get sick.
Yeah.
You know about this?
I've heard about it.
As I thought Toby might be playing with me.
Maybe he is.
But you said you've heard of it.
Maybe I am, too.
Nah, you don't have that kind of wit.
Yeah.
I need to talk to an expert.
Talk to Renee. Margaret!
I can't ask Renee.
Yes?
President needs to speak with the head chef. Could you try him at home?
No, no, I can't. Thanks, Margaret. I can't ask Renee right now.
Why not?
Well, frankly, I thought he did something stupid and inconsiderate last week, but it turns out I was just in a bad mood.
You gave Renee a firm talking to?
Yes, and while he didn't deserve it, he will someday soon.
Excuse me. Come on in.
They dropped off the polling data you asked them for.
82% are in favor of fixing potholes?
Yeah.
I'm gonna look at this.
Okay.
If they want the nickel and dime stuff, I'll tell you one thing we can do.
What's that, sir?
This time of the year, there should be a hotline you can call with questions about cooking turkeys, a special 800 number where the phones are staffed by experts.
There is.
What do you mean?
The Butterball hotline.
Butterball has a hotline?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's an 800 number. The phones are staffed by experts.
Are you kidding me?
No.
God, I'm sorry. I love my country. Charlie, get me the number for the Butterball hotline.
Yes, sir.
You pulled where I should have Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I saw that question.
And it was okay with you?
Yes, sir.
Why?
Because it was okay with Jerry Lucas.
You think people should care where I have Thanksgiving?
I know, I don't give a damn.
All right, it doesn't matter. I straightened it out with Bruno. It has a lot to do with kelp.
With what?
Hello, welcome to the Butterball Hotline.
What the hell is this?
Shh. Hello?
How can I help you, sir?
Well, first let me say, I think this is a wonderful service you provide.
Well, thank you. May I have your name, please?
I'm a citizen.
I'm sure you are, sir, but if I have your name, I can put your comments in our customer feedback form.
I'm Joe Bethersonton. That's one T and with an H in there.
And your address?
Fargo.
Your street address, please?
Zip code Fargo, North Dakota, right now.
My street address is 11454 Pruder Street. And it's very important that you put street down there because sometimes it gets confused with Pruder Way and Pruder Lane. It's apartment 23R, Fargo, North Dakota. Zip code 50504.
Thank you. Your voice sounds very familiar to me.
I do radio commercials for products.
And how can I help you?
Stuffing should be stuffed inside the turkey. Am I correct?
It can also be baked in a casserole dish.
Well, then we'd have to call it something else, wouldn't we? If I cook it inside the turkey, is there a chance I could kill my guests? I'm not saying that's necessarily a deal breaker.
Well, there are some concerns. Two main bacterial problems are Salmonella and Campylobacter jejuna.
All right. Well, first of all, I think you made the second bacteria up. And second of all, how do I avoid it?
Make sure all the ingredients are cooked first. Sauté any vegetables, fry sausage, oysters, etc.
Excellent. Let's talk temperature.
165 degrees.
No, see, I was testing you. The USDA calls for turkeys to be cooked to an internal temperature of 180 to 185 degrees.
Yes, sir. I was talking about the stuffing, which you want to cook to 165 to avoid the health risks.
Okay. Good testing.
You have an accurate thermometer?
Oh, yeah. It was presented to me as a gift from the personal sous chef to the king of auto sales in Fargo. Phil Beharnd, the man can sell a car like anything.
Very good, sir. You have a good Thanksgiving.
And you do, too. Thanks a lot. That was excellent. We should do that once a week.
Once a week.
Oh, that is so good.
That was excellent.
That is just so
good.
I
love it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Aaron Sorkin, man, he had a gem there with that whole thing. All right, guys. Well, you know what? I got some Thanksgiving facts here for you guys. And this is actually pretty cool. Thanksgiving was the beginning of TV dinners. Did you guys know that?
No. I did not know that.
What the hell are you reading? What? Where?
Yeah. No, I got the Thanksgiving facts.
Oh, these are the facts.
Yeah, these are the facts.
Okay.
So, yeah,
nothing but the facts.
Nothing but the facts.
So the TV dinner was a concept that emerged in the 1950s, but what you probably didn't know was that it was actually due to Thanksgiving mix-up at Swanson. In the article, the Smithsonian.com says the idea emerged back in 1953 after an employee at Swanson miscalculated the shipment of Thanksgiving turkeys and ordered 260 tons by mistake.
Ooh, that's a lot of turkey.
Yeah, this was obviously a huge miscalculation, and thankfully, salesman Jerry Thomas had an idea. He came up with the plan to fill 5,000 aluminum trays with turkey, along with other classic Thanksgiving fixings like cornbread, gravy, peas, and sweet potatoes. Some of the source says that he was inspired by the trays of the pre-prepared foods served on airplanes. So Swanson and Thomas joined together to sell the first of its kind, which came out to be the TV dinner. And it proved to be a huge success. In the first year of production, 1954, they sold 10 million turkey dinners for 98 cents each.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that, Steve?
I do.
Wow.
He's that old. All right.
Course, even older.
Of course, several places. He's had a birthday. Several places, of course, are named Turkey. So, for example, there's a Turkey Creek in Arizona, Turkey Town in North Carolina. There's also Turkey City in Texas, and even a Turkey Creek village in Louisiana. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, the country turkey.
And the country turkey, yes. All right. Visit the 17th century Plymouth Plantation. That's right. You can travel back in time by visiting the Plymouth Plantation in Massachusetts. The historic attraction is called Plymouth Plantation. It was built and depicted on a traditional colonial English community in the 1600s. And the Wampanoag home site as well, which is kind of cool. So those are the Indians that they first had the first Thanksgiving.
The Wampanoag?
Wampanoag, I think, is what it is. I ain't going to try it twice. Yeah. Now, Ben Franklin, though, wanted the turkey to be the official bird of the United States as opposed to the bald eagle.
Yes.
You know about this one?
Yep. Yeah, well, you didn't want anybody bald to be sticking out like that.
Well, Franklin actually wrote a letter to his daughter, which read, quote, "I wish the bald eagle had not been chosen as the representative of our country. He is a bird of bad moral character. For the truth, the turkey is in comparison a much more respectable bird, and without and withal a true original native of America."
Huh. So,
there you go.
Well, all right.
Whoa. Now
we know.
There you go. And the last one here, you guys know about Franksgiving.
No.
Okay. Well, it was coined back in 1939 when Franklin Roosevelt decided to change the date of Thanksgiving. Everyone knows that the American Thanksgiving is always celebrated on the last Thursday of November. But apparently Roosevelt disagreed. When he was a president, he decided to change it to the second to last Thursday in November. According to the U.S. National Archives, Roosevelt was worried that the Thanksgiving Day was celebrated too close to Christmas and that the, quote, shortened Christmas shopping season might dampen the economic recovery. So he issued a presidential proclamation to change the date.
Adding a week of shopping.
So, but of course everybody ignored it or whatever, and it's still the last Thursday. So there you go, some Thanksgiving facts for you guys. All right, how we are on time? We doing good?
11:15.
All right, cool deal. All right. So we're going to go ahead and play this song for you guys. And this is something from Johnny Cash that is really, really cool. It's a song that our friend Brian Phelps actually found, and is an old friend, and it's been one of his favorites because his mom was really into Johnny Cash also. And so we've kind of made it as a little bit of a staple here for us. And this is called Thanksgiving Prayer. So here we go, Johnny Cash with Thanksgiving Prayer.
We've come to the time in the season when family and friends gather near to offer a prayer of thanksgiving for blessings we've known through the year. To join hands and thank the Creator now when Thanksgiving is due. And this year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. I'm grateful for the laughter of children, the sun and the wind and the rain, the color of blue in your sweet eyes, the sight of a highball and train, the moonrise over a prairie, and oh, love that you've made new. This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. And when the time comes to be going, won't be in sorrow and tears. I'll kiss you goodbye and I'll go on the way, grateful for all of the years. I thank for all that you gave me, for teaching me what love can do. And Thanksgiving Day for the rest of my life, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. And Thanksgiving Day for the rest of my life, I'm thanking the Lord He made you.
Mm. Such a pretty song. You're just like, huh?
Hello, folks. I'm Johnny Cash.
Sir.
I like his song about the Cadillac. He worked at the Cadillac factory. And
yeah.
Every day he'd steal a different part. It was a 52, 53, 54, 55, 56 Cadillac.
All right. Should we do this?
Why not?
All right, so because we want to give you guys some class.
Maybe a little culture.
Something we like to call pocket-sized cinema. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. And welcome to pocket-sized cinema. We actually have a double feature today, and the first one's entitled Meeting the Parents. We open when a boy is invited to Thanksgiving dinner and his girlfriend's parents' house so they can meet him. They've been together a while, but they haven't had sex yet. His girlfriend tells him that after he meets her parents, they can get intimate. So in preparation, he decides to get some condoms at the local drugstore. Let's pick up the action here, shall we? Sit back, relax, and enjoy Meeting the Parents.
Golly gee, I can't believe how nervous I am. There's so many condoms here. I should just ask the pharmacist what I should buy. Oh, boy. Okay, here we go. Excuse me, sir.
Yes? How can I help you?
Well, this is my first time buying condoms, and I really don't know a thing about them. Could you help me out?
Well, there are differences between the brands. Some are thicker, some are thinner. And then there are some that help even last longer.
After a long chat with the boy, decides on a large box of ribbed for her pleasure. The time comes for the Thanksgiving dinner. Where'd the music go?
Oh,
sorry.
Oh. We're down the rabbit hole here.
I know, something. There we go. Okay.
Okay.
After a long chat, the boy decides. All of a sudden, it's like, it went blank.
I know.
After a long chat, the boy decides on a large box of ribbed for her pleasure because he likes the barbecue kind. The time comes for the Thanksgiving dinner, and the young couple are seated at the dinner table with the girl's parents. The girl is surprised to see her boy, not to see the boy, has his head bowed down, apparently deep in prayer. She whispers to him,
"I didn't know you were so religious."
"I didn't know your father was a pharmacist."
Yeah. And as we said, folks, this is a double feature. So once again, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to part two. Pocket Size Cinema. The double feature is entitled Thanksgiving Sex. Thanksgiving Sex. We open when this woman was lonely at Thanksgiving. And of course, Thanksgiving was approaching, and she didn't want to celebrate alone, so she fancied a bit of adventure. So she posted an ad in the local newspaper. The ad read, "Looking for a man to share Thanksgiving with. These qualifications are: won't beat me up, won't run away from me, and is great in bed." She got lots of phone calls replying to her, but none of the men who called took to her fancy. Then one day the doorbell rang. When she opened the door, there was a man there with no arms and no legs. Let's pick up the action here, shall we? Sit back, relax, and enjoy Thanksgiving sex. Thanksgiving sex.
"Hi, I'm Bob. I have no arms, so I won't beat you up. And no legs, so I won't run away."
"What makes you think you're great in bed?"
"I rang the doorbell, didn't I?"
Yeah. That's your double feature there, baby. Way to go. And you got your lines right. It is pretty good.
I thought that was good. The last one was good. I like that. Yeah.
Gotta keep the music up, though. Love you. Love you, love you, love you. All right. Well, should we play the game?
Why not?
All right.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the new game show that completely changed the meaning of the word chuggy. Quiz me.
Quiz you.
So are we ready for the questions
today? Oh, we are, Anton Christopher. Let's go.
All right, you know, being the Thanksgiving show, we're obviously going to be doing Christmas questions, you know.
Christmas questions on the Thanksgiving show?
Yep, you know.
You sure about that?
Yes, I think I'm sure.
Okay, it's not going to be Thanksgiving on the Thanksgiving show, but Christmas questions on the Thanksgiving show.
Apparently, question number one.
All right, just checking here. Who knows? Maybe we can do Easter on Christmas.
Yeah. I don't think Valentine's Day, though. How long was the first Thanksgiving celebration?
Oh.
Steve. 3 days.
That is correct.
Because Steve was there.
Because he was there.
It was a party bender.
Get it? Like, because it's you're old.
You gotta yell it at him. It's because you're old.
We're on question two. What meats were served at the first Thanksgiving celebration?
Sean? I know venison was, which is basically deer.
All right.
Probably goose or geese.
Okay.
And I'm probably going to say ham.
You have two out of the four.
Oh!
So
venison. Okay.
Venison and goose was correct.
Okay.
Casey.
Rabbit. No.
Silly rabbit. Tricks are for kids.
Steve. Grouse.
No, grouse. Not grouse. They are birds, though. They are birds.
Oh, okay.
Both are birds.
Sean. Okay, so if it's goose, it's got to be duck.
Okay, good.
Duck was
one
there.
One more to go.
And what else did they hunt? Pheasant?
No, not pheasant.
Because it wasn't under a glass. So. Chicken?
No. Swan.
Oh.
A swan?
Yeah. Swan. Venison, swan, duck, and goose were like
I didn't
not
know swan
turkey.
Was edible.
It had to have been before the ballet.
And if it was a black swan, watch out, mother. Never mind.
All right. Moving to question three, shall we?
Get a bottle of Ripple with that one.
Who was the first president to pardon a turkey?
Stop.
Steve. Robert. Or no, not Robert.
Robert
John.
E. Lee?
No.
Wrong side, brother.
John F. Kennedy.
That is correct. Steve is 2 for 3.
Because again, Steve was there. So.
Why did this turkey have to get pardoned?
Because it was a mother. No, I was kidding.
Biden just pardoned two turkeys like day before yesterday or something like that.
They
got pardoned.
Oh, criminal you know turkeys?
No, they're just not going to be killed for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a tradition.
Party, yeah.
Okay.
It's a tradition.
They pardon them. It's not really a pardon.
Oh, well, they survived.
It's like a sanctuary, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hear you.
When I was working at Disneyland, the pardoned turkeys came to the petting zoo.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, one year.
At
yeah.
Disneyland. So we would work the petting zoo while we weren't working in the building.
Yeah. All right.
And
makes
it was
sense.
Fun.
He worked on the heavy petting side, though.
Things you know.
Yeah. Question number four. Which president made turkey pardoning an annual event?
I just read this.
But can you remember it?
Steve. Bill Clinton.
No. Casey, Sean, any guesses?
Sean. I'm going to say Nixon.
No.
Who's after Bill?
Well, Bill.
George Bush.
It was second. Yeah, Bush 2.0.
Casey.
George Bush. The first one.
That would be W.H.?
Yeah, no, that's the second one.
Oh, that's the second one?
Okay. Yeah, George H.W. Bush, right?
H.W. was the first one.
H.W. is the first one, okay.
So is that the one you were going with?
Yes.
I don't think it is the first one, though. It would have to be the second one.
Who was ever after?
Are you sure that's
the
first one?
No, Bush was before, H.W. was before Clinton.
So it's whoever after
it's yeah, but I can't remember what his
George
initial
w.
was.
George W. Just say George W.
Is that the one?
Yeah.
George W. Bush.
It's George H.W. Bush.
Well, yeah, I was right the first one.
So it was the first one.
Yeah.
All right.
I was trying to figure out which one you wanted to go with. And I couldn't do it.
I know. We'll play them both.
Stop playing both sides.
Yeah.
Hey. It's a tied game.
Oh, my gosh.
I know it was a Bush.
Number five.
Two turkeys in a bush is kind of like, well, never mind.
All right. We got five to go in 2 minutes.
When was the first Thanksgiving NFL game? When was it? So what year?
Steve. Yeah, it's got to be Steve.
1974.
No, you're going to have to go down. You got to go farther back, my guy.
Okay, Sean.
1955. Keep going back.
Really?
Yeah, the first Thanksgiving NFL game.
Well, there's not much more to go back to.
Well, I mean, to be fair, this was a roaring time.
Steve. 1920.
There you go.
What a clue.
Nice. All right.
Question number six. Wow. What percentage of Americans prefer Thanksgiving leftovers to Thanksgiving dinner?
Oh, I think this is pretty high.
Sean? I'm going to say probably like 60%.
Got to go a little bit higher.
Ooh.
Casey?
You got to guess, Casey?
We'll go with 82.
Close enough, 80%.
Ooh, yeah. Casey got it.
How about that?
Yeah, about 80%.
However, I would say in Price is Right games, I would have lost.
Yeah.
It's over.
All right, question number seven. We all know Black Friday. Black Friday's good. Black Friday is the biggest day of the year for what trade profession?
What trade profession?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I knew this. Habada.
What? No, that's not
trade it. Profession.
What?
You mean Black Friday?
Sean? Plumbers.
There you go, Sean. Question number 8. Because
everything's backed up.
Everybody filling those toilets.
Sarah Josepha Hale, who campaigned for Thanksgiving to be a national holiday, wrote what famous song?
Sean. Everybody was kung fu fighting.
No.
Damn.
Casey, Steve, any guesses?
I got nothing on this one.
Nothing?
No.
He was the original writer on Sir Mix-a-Lot's song.
I like Big Butts, yes.
I like Big Butts. Yeah.
Well, it was Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Oh, wow.
A little beef, a little ham.
A little turkey. Yeah. A little, you know.
Moving on a little to question number 9.
Mary's clothes got very tight because Mary had an appetite. All right.
What city has the oldest Thanksgiving Day parade?
Sean? New York.
No.
Damn.
Steve, Casey?
Casey?
Yeah, I'll give it a guess. We'll go with, I don't know.
Just name a city.
Name a city. Nashville.
No, not Nashville. Steve.
Boston.
No, it's Philadelphia.
Oh.
Oh, that's pretty interesting.
I should have known that.
Mm-hmm. Huh. All right, final question number 10.
Yay!
Which food was ever present at the first Thanksgiving, but is seldom eating at Thanksgiving now?
Steve. Swan.
That'd probably be correct, but
am I wrong?
No.
That was actually pretty good. That was good. Yeah.
You can get half a point for that. It's seafood, though.
Seafood.
Okay,
there you go.
All right.
And that's the show, guys. Well, thanks so much for joining us. We hope that everybody has a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving. Please be safe out there, too, if you're traveling back home for Thanksgiving, because we want you guys back in next week. Well, not next week, actually, but in 2 weeks, because next week we are taking it off. So we will be playing a past moment show, though, so we'll catch you guys back in 2 weeks. In the meantime, show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page is Your Weekly Dose. Twitter and Instagram is at yourweeklydose1.
Me, Steve, Facebook, Steve Silva, Twitter, at SilvaLining69.
And then I'm just on Facebook, Casey Nicole Summers. We'll see you there.
And if you want to catch me, Sean, on any of my social media, it's simply Sean R. Unplugged. Don't forget, guys, to listen to us on Delmarva Talk Radio at 7 a.m. Wednesday through Friday mornings. And also on Lime City Radio at noon from Wednesday through Friday. And, of course, live every Saturday morning at 1 p.m. on both of our affiliates. We thank everybody out there, too. All of you guys have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And don't forget to tell your friends about the show, because we can't grow without you guys. So don't forget to help spread the word about the show, because, damn it, we dare you to.
That's right.
Yeah. Take care. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Gobble diddle lip, gobble gobble diddle lip.
Hey! Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.